Brother Kevin asked me to do this, but you can't tell the preacher no. So just pray for me, please. When he asked me to do this, I've had something on my mind for several months. I've been thinking a lot about, and in fact, I was thinking about it when he asked me. And it's actually probably, it's probably a little bit of a complicated subject for a feller like me to try to explain, but I'm going to try my best to do it. And that is our assurance of our salvation. You know, how do we know we're saved? The Bible gives, and I'm going to go to 1 John mostly, but a little book of 1 John. But the Bible gives three ways we know we're saved, according to the book of 1 John. And number one is we'll keep his commandments. Now, that don't mean sinless perfection. We all know that. That's impossible. None of us are going to be sinless perfection. But number two is we love the brethren. And I think brethren, that means you brothers, sisters in Christ, a household of faith. If you don't love your brethren, there's something wrong with you. Now, they may not be perfect. They may not like everything you like. They may not like to hunt and fish and do what you do. They may be totally opposite, but you have that in common, and you will love them. You'll have a feeling for them. And the third one is that the Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the sons of God. Now, that don't always mean a warm, fuzzy feeling, a good feeling. It may come a spirit of conviction. Praise God for that spirit of conviction. Straightens us out every now and then. We need that. I know I do. And I'll testify just a minute here and not try to get too deep in it. But one of the reasons I've noticed going to other revivals, other churches here, pastors come in, Brother Kev, they preach to lost church members. And my youngest son got saved when he was in high school, I guess it was, wasn't it, Beth? And boy, he was a Bible reader. He was real interested. And then we had a revival, and he gets up and says, "You never was saved, start with." I ain't going to argue with him, you know. And it made you wonder, you know. And I thought about myself. Well, he told me, and I mean, he didn't change any. He kept reading his Bible. He was a godly young man as far as I knew, you know. He's now in a good church in South Carolina. I'm pleased with his, as far as I know, his life and stuff. I'm proud of him as a Christian. But there was a time when I got saved. I was in the Air Force. And I got saved July the 3rd of 1974. And I got in a good church. I lived for the Lord. I really was doing good. I didn't know as much as I thought I did. And the Vietnam was winding down, was about over, and Cold War is building up. They sent a lot of people into Alaska, the radar sites out in the bush and stuff. All these boys coming back, showing pictures of all this big game they killed. Well, I wanted to go and kill some of that stuff, you know. And I'd looked at the Outdoor Life magazine and stuff ever since I was a little kid. And so I volunteered to go, and sure enough, I got to go way as far as you could get, nearly to Russia, right across from them. I did kill some of that stuff and honey and everything, but I shouldn't have left where I was at. I'd had no fellowship and no church, and then I came and went to Minot, North Dakota, and no Baptist churches, no churches out west. It's you're talking about a mission field. The West is. Well, anyway, I fell away. But the Spirit never, ever left me. I can remember times I'd just get depressed because I knew I wasn't what I ought to have been, you know. I spent 2 or 3 years or more, several years like that. And finally got in Pine Haven, met Brother Don Hines, got in Pine Haven Baptist Church, got straightened out. And according to what it says here, you know, we have the prodigal son in the Old Testament, but that's not New Testament doctrine, but it's a good story or shadow of what people that fall away are. If you've never fell away, never been through that, I hope you don't. I think we ought to realize that also we can be cold and indifferent and be at church every time the door's open. So, saying all that, though, let's go to 1 John 2, 3 through 6. I'm nervous. My train of thought is not. I'm having a hard time. Except I put my glasses on. It says here in 1 John chapter 2, verses 3 through 6, and hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. First thing I've thought about what is his commandments now? We all know what the Ten Commandments are. Actually, what does he mean here in keep his commandments? To me, I'm just speaking for myself, what I think his commandments are is everything that he says in his word in this Bible to either try to do or try to do or not do. Some stuff he tells you it's a commandment, don't do that. Okay. Most good Christians would, I think, probably sin the sin of omission instead of commission. It's what we fail to do. It's our worst trouble, I think. I know a lot of times it is with me. He that saith, I know him and keepeth not his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby we know we are in him. He that saith it abideth in him ought him also to walk even as he walked. We see here we should have a desire to keep his commandments and to walk in fellowship with him and be obedient to him. And now I think right here I'd like to turn to one of my favorite chapters in the Bible is John 15. This will kind of illustrate what we should be. Okay, John 15 here. John 15, that's about abiding in Christ. This has to do with, I know this might be kind of scattered, but this, to me, in my mind, it's got to do with keeping his commandments. It says in John 15, 4, starting in verse 4, abide in me, and I in you, as a branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye, except you abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the sameth bring much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. So when you abide in the vine, you'll have the Spirit of God on you. You should bear fruit naturally. And this is something that I know I've done. I bet you everybody in this building's done the same thing. If we ain't real careful, we will focus on fruit instead of abiding in the vine. If we put Jesus first, study his life, try to be more like him, like the Bible says, the fruit will come natural. You know, if you're in love with Jesus and you love to read about him, think about him, be around his people, you'll have these fruits of the Spirit here, which is joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. That'll come natural, just like an apple tree ain't going to have oranges on it. It ain't going to happen. Same goes here. I don't know if the Lord put these in order or not, but I kind of think he might have. Joey, you know, that's why I got saved. One reason I got saved. I got to, when I was got down in Florida there, met an old man, he was civil service, he was a coon hunter. Me and him hit it off, and he was a Christian. He knew how I was living, you know. And he worked in our squadron, and he knew how I lived and stuff. He had a burden for me. And we got to hunt together, and naturally I got to know more people. Well, it's just, they was all Christians, seemed like. But there's one thing about them, they all had joy about them. And I thought, I want that, you know. I'd like to have joy. And I've been raised in church, so I knew I knew all the stuff, the stories of the Bible and stuff. And I had actually went to the altar and been baptized when I was just a kid in Bible school. I don't know how old I was. But I know that I wasn't saved by the way I was living and stuff. But anyway, these people, a lot of times when I was off duty, I'd go help some of them old women hoe in the garden, you know. And I just enjoyed being around them. They was good people. And that had a lot to their testimony in front of me. They had joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. And I did. I give in. I got saved. I just give my life to the Lord. And but they drawed my attention to it. Okay. Let's go to, wrote down here something I wrote down and found somewhere. Said, and this is, I think, bears need to talk about and might help somebody if you're wondering about your salvation. I've got a note here. I don't even remember where I got this at, but it said, you will never have assurance of your salvation as long as you believe and walk in works plus faith. And I don't understand how anybody that believes that you can stay saved by living a good life. I don't understand. I'd be scared to death. I'll commit enough sin, I bet you, for dark, send my soul to hell. I don't understand that. They'll go to the book of James and talk about dead faith and stuff. Well, dead faith means your faith ain't producing nothing. It don't mean that you don't have it. You can have faith in God and it's not doing nothing for him, you know. But I thought that was important to say I don't understand how you can mix works with faith, with what the Lord did on the cross for us. That's a slap in God's face to think that we can help him, or we do anything to merit his good favor. It's all what Jesus done for us. We've got to understand that and nail that down. That's got to be part of our foundation that we believe in. And I don't mean to, I know these other, I've got good friends that believe that way. I don't argue with them. They can out-argue me in a heartbeat. So I don't think you should argue anyway about the Bible. If you can say something that helps somebody along the line, yeah, but okay, let me see what I've got here now. I'm nervous as I can be. Let's read 1 John 3:14-15. I did have all this pretty well. I knew what it was, and I'm nervous, and I forgot it. And another thing, I had that COVID in 2020, and since I've had that, I've been talking, and I just can't think of a word that I'm wanting to. I feel like I've got, you know, it's like being on a game show to talk to me. You've got to help me think what I'm trying to say. Okay. We know that we've passed from death into life because we love the brethren. Okay. That's a pretty good sign you've been saved if you love your brethren. They're like of... if you had a problem, who would you go to? If you needed somebody to help you, somebody to confide in. I wouldn't go to some guy that drunk moonshine just because he liked to keep foxhounds. I'd go to somebody that knew the Lord and I trusted and I had confidence in, and I'd go to him or her and ask, you know, and to talk to him. Okay, I've got wrote down here John 13:34-35. I don't, like I said, I know I'm making a mess out of this, but I'm doing the best I can. I like this one really good. A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. You can't fake true love. You can't fake it. You can. True love will cover a multitude of sins. True love casteth out fear. Most powerful thing in the universe. God loved us enough to send his son die a horrible death for us on the cross. Okay, let me see. Okay, I'm going to turn back over here I forgot to do something here that, let's see, the 15th chapter of John. Let's turn back to it just a minute. I want to read this. I forgot this, and this is really good. I'm nervous. I had all this laid out, and I thought it was the way I had it. It made a lot more sense. Well, I don't feel like I'm going to do it. It's like my dad said, just do the best you can. Don't worry about it. That's the way he always... That's one of his old sayings. He's pretty good. Okay, about going back to the Biden and Christ here, I've got a note here. What does it mean to abide in Christ? It says to abide in Christ is on one hand, number one, to have no known sin, unjudged, and unconfessed. no interest and went, okay, that's a good one right there. That's number one. No known sin. It's unjudged or unconfessed. Most everybody takes a shower probably every 24 hours at least. You know, we need a good spiritual shower probably twice as much or three times as much. We need to come before him every morning and every night and say, what have I done wrong, Lord? Show me that I can confess it before you. And we all know 1 John 1:9 says, we confess our sins, he is just, forgive us our sins, cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's a great promise, and we don't use it enough. I know I don't. Let sin build up. Just the little things, the little hateful things that you do, maybe to your wife, or just let sin build up in your life. See, if you're really saved, you'll start getting irritable, and that's your problem right there. Just go to the Lord and empty it. Get rid of it. Okay, number two, no interest in which he is not brought. Okay, that don't matter what you do. I used to fight roosters while I went to church. And I always loved them. I liked them when I was a kid, and I'd got out of it, of course, because I was in that place keeping them. And after I got married the first time, I had settled down, I got back into it. Just I like to have them around. They eat ticks and stuff. Well, brother Jim King's dad, me and him, he gave me some really good stock. And I seen when I raised some of them how good they were. And I was listening to the radio. And they had a King of Kings radio one day at work. I was driving a truck, dump truck, and I was listening to the radio. They had a thing on there called Money Matters, and Larry Perkett was on there. The guy, he'd take question answering. Guy said, is it a sin to gamble? Well, I always thought it was. And he said, the Bible nowhere in it gives condemns gambling, but it suggests it's not a very good thing to do. Well, I wanted to fight them roosters and get back in that so bad. I thought if I go and enter a derby and just pay the entry fee on like to get in the derby and enter all them roosters and not gamble on the side like everybody else is doing, then I'm all right. And then I'll tie on my earnings. Lo and behold, first derby I'd been to in years, and I won it. And that wasn't good. That gave me the fever. And, you know, I had that in my life, and that was an interest that Jesus couldn't be brought into a rooster fight. Beth went with me. She'd go to Kentucky and all over some of them big fights away off from here. And that's wrong. That was wrong. I see it now. And I was in church then. I had myself fooled that was all right. But anyway, enough about that. Number three, no life which he cannot share. You don't do anything that you can't share with Christ. If he was sitting right there beside of you, would you be ashamed? Wherever you're at, would you be ashamed for Jesus to be right there? Because he is there with you all the time. On the other hand, this number four. On the other hand, the abiding one takes all burdens to him. Boys, that's a good one right there. If we would take our burdens to Christ instead of trying to figure out them, do something about them on our own, or either turn to the world for them, you know, just take our burdens to him and have faith and forget about them. Let him deal with it. Number five, he draws all witness, life, and strength from him, or wisdom, life, and strength from him. That's only wisdom there is in the world is from the Lord. It is not an unceasing unconsciousness of these things and of him, but that nothing is allowed in the life which separates from him. Now that's abiding in Christ, that's keeping his commandments, that has to do with that. I thought that was really good right there. That pretty well covers everything. Okay, let me see where I'm at here. While we're talking about what a person that endeavors to keep the commandments of Christ, what he looks like and everything, or he or she looks like, let's turn to Psalms 15. This is one of my favorite. It's a little short chapter. I think it's only got 5 verses in it. If you're abiding in Christ and you're endeavoring to keep his commandments and you love your brethren, we need to talk about the love of Christ, the law of Christ, and the perfect law of liberty before we quit. But here it says in Psalms 15, Lord, who, this is David, of course, writing this psalm here. He says, Lord, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell in thy holy hill? If I apply that to me, I think of the New Jerusalem right off the bat, you know. And says, here he is. This is him that's going to be able to abide in thy tabernacle and his holy hill. This is the man that can do it. He that walketh uprightly and worketh righteousness and speaketh the truth in his heart. That's a good one there. Boy, here's a good one. He that backbiteth not with his tongue. Now that's something that we need to stomp plumb out. Backbiting, that don't need to happen. Nowhere. Okay, here's a good one. I told you about having trouble with my dogs and a neighbor. Of course, I made up with him, and we're good friends now. And we don't see each other much and probably stay good friends. He says, nor doeth evil to his neighbor. He's a good neighbor. And we have a lot of different people moving here, and we need to be good neighbors to them. We need to be a light and a witness to them. And he says, nor taketh up reproach against his neighbor. That means to scorn or disapprove of, to be just hateful with them. In whose eyes a vile person is contemned. And that means to despise or reject him. Who is that? That's kind of, when I first read this, found this, years and years ago, I thought to myself, who is that vile person? And to me, that vile person is it's two or three different people. But the first thing I thought of is that vile person that's inside of me in this old robe of flesh down in here. It's wanting to come out and cause trouble. You know, without the Word of God, without the Holy Spirit, he would too. It's also people out there running around, that unsaved people, God-hating people, that wants to bother you and cause you to have trouble. But he honors them that fear the Lord. He that sweareth to his own hurt and changeth not. Boy, that's a good one there. Swear to your own hurt and change it not. I'll tell you something I used to do. Now this is bad. This scripture, man. I used to carry me an empty .30-06 hole in my pocket. And if I was going to deer hunting, and I was going down the road, and every one of us has done it, every one has done it, shot a deer off the side of the road, ain't with Mike. But I'd take that hoe with me, and if I got caught dragging that deer for game warden or somebody come up, I'd throw that shell down there, and then I could take him in. That's a lie. That's swearing. That's against what it says. You're swearing your own hurt and changing not. And I'd tell him, I said, I shot that deer. I stepped across the ditch line. It's legal. I shot him right. I stand right there. That ain't right, you know. But I have done that. I've done that not since been going to church here, but since I going to church, you know. I'll admit that. So that little chapter right there, boys, that's pretty deep. If you'll study that'll speak to you now. Okay, let's see. Number three, the reason we know we're saved is the Spirit bears witness with our spirit. Everybody in here that's saved knows what the Holy Spirit don't feel like nothing else. You know, it don't. It's Brother Don Hines used to say, happiness and joy is two completely different things. He says happiness comes from happenings. If you kill a big 16-point buck that wide, you're happy. You're going to be happy for a few days. Stally, little smiling. But joy comes from the Lord, from the Spirit of God. Two different things. And we know it, two different feelings. I like the Spirit of the Lord and joy a lot better than I do happiness, you know. I can make myself happy. I can do something to, you know, you can just, I don't know, get out and start cutting wood. You're getting a better union, start working at something. It'll help your attitude if you'll get to moving around, you know, best you can. But joy comes from the Lord. And the Spirit of the Lord is joy. Okay, I've got wrote down here Romans 8:9, 8:11. First of all, let's go to Hebrews before we do this. Let's go to Hebrews 4:12. And show you the difference in your soul and spirit. There's a difference. And your soul and your spirit. Says, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to dividing asunder of soul and spirit. See right there, there's a difference in your soul and spirit. And I dare say that a lot of times that's where people get fooled and they think that something is right or this may be right or whatever because I felt the spirit when really it was your soul happy about something. Our soul is what, it's where we have our free will, our emotions, it's our personality. It's a soul, and that's what we communicate with each other here. Plus, if somebody's got a like spirit, you'll communicate back and forth with them. But we communicate with God through our spirit. So it's important to know the difference in your soul and spirit. And so I thought I'd throw that in. So okay, let's go to Romans 8:9. I've got all this wrote down. I don't even know what, I'm so nervous I can't remember what it says. So I have to read it. Says, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the spirit. If so be that the spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if any man have not the spirit of Christ, he is none of his. If you don't have the spirit, if you don't ever feel the spirit of God, you're none of his. And that's something personal. Only you know that. Only a person knows that of his own, or his or her own self. Okay. In 8:11 it says here, but if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwelleth in you. That quicken means to bring alive. Okay, and here's a good one, 14 through 16. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For we have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but we have received the spirit adoption whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Here it is, nails it down. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And that's something nobody can tell you. That's between you and God. You've got to figure that out on your own. Do you really know what his spirit feels like? If you don't, you better check up. Well, see what else I got wrote down here. I've got way down here at the bottom, 1 John 5:10. I used to know that, but I can't quote this Bible like a lot of people. I used to do better than I can do now. I just don't have the memory. It says, he that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself, that he believeth not. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave his Son. That's so true. So, folks, that's about all that. That's about all I got. I see people coming in. I know it was kind of, it didn't have a good structure and scattered and stuff. I know. First time I have helped in Bible study, but it was like 8 or 10 people sitting around the table. It's a lot of different, you know, than doing this. But anyway.